Now, we all know that Mount Everest is the world's highest mountain above sea level, standing at just under 8,500 metres. And unfortunately, not everyone that attempts to reach the summit makes it. Well, I'm happy to say that I have Johnny Ward, a Galway-born adventurer who just last month reached the summit of the highest mountain in the world. Johnny, congratulations and good morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How are you?
In recovery mode, but feeling okay, thanks. I'm in sunny Stockholm celebrating.
Fantastic. Why did you decide to climb Everest?
Oh God, that's a long story. I did this like long journey for 10 years to try to become the first person from Ireland to visit every country in the world. And then in 2017, on St. Patrick's Day, actually, I finished that. And then I kind of went into a bit of a tailspin after 10 years of aiming for something. I thought I was going to be elated, but I kind of left a big hole in my life. Anyway, long story, I discovered no one had ever climbed the seven summits and visited every country. So now I'm trying to be the first person to do that. And Everest, obviously, was part of that. So thankfully, I got that done last month.
Congratulations. How long did it take?
Everest took... the expedition's 50 days. We were a couple of days fast, so I think 47 days or something.
Oh, you big show off! Oh, yeah. Look at you. You did it
tough
2 days
times.
Quicker. 2 days quicker. What was the training like and all of that?
Pretty tough. You know, like the seven summits, that's the highest mountain on each continent. And obviously Everest is the toughest one. So normally you spend a few years building up to it, doing all those other mountains. So over the last kind of 4 or 5 years, I've been climbing other mountains leading up to it. So I guess you could say the training's been 4 or 5 years, but the actual physical training for Everest itself, I did about 9 months. I live in Thailand, in Chiang Mai in the north there, and my house is right beside this mountain. If anyone's been to Chiang Mai, it's quite a famous tourist destination. There's a big temple on a hill there. And from my house to the top of that hill and back again is 50K. So I would run that every morning for 9 months. And I felt ready for it.
Holy moly.
I was still knackered going up Everest, to be honest. So I was thinking I should have done it a bit harder, yeah.
But come here, tell us, how many people attempted it this season and how many were successful?
This year, I think there was about 400 permits. And I don't know, maybe 150, 200 made it. About a quarter or a third each year when they turn up, because you know it's quite expensive to do it. So a lot of like wealthier people who aren't really prepared for it haven't dedicated themselves to it turn up, and then in the first week or two they're like, holy hell, maybe this isn't quite what I thought it was going to be. Not exactly Kilimanjaro. And then they head home, so instantly you lose a third of people in that first week or two.
And unfortunately, people lose their life, as we all know. Was there any deaths in this season?
I think for Everest climbers, it was the deadliest season on record. And actually, Ireland has got a pretty bad record up there. It's something that I was thinking about a lot when I was going up and also coming down.
Is it true that you're climbing over and beside bodies of deceased climbers?
It's not. I mean, it's true in that there are dead bodies up there. But I think because Everest is such a famous, iconic thing, people build it up into as if like there's dead bodies left, right and centre. That's not the case. But there is the odd one that you see, which is pretty horrific.
How does your missus cope with being married to someone like you, an adventurer?
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm living on the edge. My husband's a stuntman, but he comes home every day. But like you go off. Yeah, like even just doing every country, you know, for 10 years and now you're doing all the summits. I mean, when will it end?
It's a good job you're not on loudspeaker because she's here.
I heard her. What did she say? I want to know how she's coping. How does she live with someone like you?
You know, everyone I meet people, like they're always like, oh, your missus must be so understanding. And I'm like, all right, you should be in my house in the evening to hear how understanding she is. Yeah,
she's normal then. Good. She must have been very worried. She was
a flight attendant, so she travelled a fair bit herself. And she's worried, but yeah. You got to make it work.
You got to make it work. But how do you? I mean, it was the moments when you were, I'm sure you couldn't like text her or video call her when you were going up.
No, we had a satellite phone at base camp. So I was in contact with her then. But you know, like doing that every country thing. And like last year I rode across the Atlantic where I was offline for 2 months. And like when I'm traveling in countries like Somalia and stuff, I hope that they're kind of used to it. I mean, it's still tough for her and my mum, but equally, like, it would be tougher having me at home struggling, thinking, oh, I wish I was doing this. And, you know what I mean? That's probably worse.
Who did you dedicate the climb to and why?
This is a tough story, but I'll try to stay not emotional here. But I grew up in quite tricky circumstances. I was born in Galway and my father was in prison. And anyway, we ended up moving up north, hence my accent. And my mum raised me and my sister, and we were on welfare for 10 years or whatever. And stuff like Everest and the Every Country stuff, it's always just posh English guys, you know, who's her 27th in line to the throne doing this kind of stuff. And it's almost beyond, people will say, like, oh, is it your life dream? And like, when you grow up like that, not really, it's not your dream, because you just think it's so far away from like the lifestyle that you're used to. And anyway, my mom was always really supportive of me emotionally. Like, when I finished uni, I went traveling to do this Every Country thing, and everyone's always like, when's Johnny gonna get a real job? And my mom, when I was broke, I ended up making quite a lot of money from my blog online, thankfully, to allow me to do this stuff. And long before that, like, when I was broke, my mom was always just in my corner saying, like, if he's happy, and then I'm happy. And she's just really supportive of me. And growing up too, when we were on welfare, she always made me believe I could do what I want. Anyway, long story short, like, I wasn't really expecting to have this big emotional breakdown when I got to the top of Everest. And I did have that, exactly that. I just started crying, and I just like thought of where I came from and how hard my mum worked to make it possible for me. And I dedicated it to mothers struggling.
You got to the top of the world, and it probably just all hit you. And it's amazing that you thought of her in that moment.
It was very strange. Like, you know, I've done a lot of cool stuff, and I've never had a bit like an emotional outpouring like that. And then just instantly it all came out. So, yeah, I'm very proud of her. I'm very grateful for the sacrifices she made.
What's her name?
Mora.
Mora. What a
great I'm actually flying her to Slovakia and Austria next week with my missus to celebrate Everest.
What a way to celebrate.
Yeah,
amazing.
It should be nice.
Amazing. And does she like to travel?
Oh God, yeah. She was diagnosed with Parkinson's 12 years ago, and since then, like, I've taken her to maybe 50 or 60 countries, and every 2 years we do these big fundraising things for finding a cure for Parkinson's. So, like, on her 70th birthday, we climbed Fuji with a big group that I organized, and then 2 years ago we did the Serengeti Marathon, where mom did 10k with a big group, and we raised another 20 grand. And now in September we're doing another group fundraising thing. We're going to cycle across the desert in Jordan 100 kilometers again to raise money for finding a cure.
Amazing.
So she likes to travel too. Yeah,
she sounds like an incredible woman. It's obviously where you got the travel bug from as well, you know. Just amazing. Lovely that you thought of her when you're at the top of that mountain. Can I ask you, the days after, I mean, what physically, I mean, you're a month out now. I know you're kind of still in recovery. How's the body, you know, physically, emotionally, how are you doing? And are you on a swing?
When I finished that Every Country thing, I went into a spin, like, and I didn't know what to do. But so emotionally, I feel great. I feel very proud and relieved as well. But physically, I'm still a wreck. And, you know, like, I'm a bit of a party guy living in Thailand all these years and blah, blah. So I thought I would be coming down, like, burning up Kathmandu, like, with my shirt off, singing from the rooftops at 3 a.m. But I could barely do it. I've been wrecked. I'm still a bit wrecked, to be honest.
And the swing part, is there a gate there that needs oiling that you're next to? Or are you on a swing? Because all I can hear in the background is something swinging.
Sorry, I'm really sorry about that. I mean, like, as I say, I'm in Stockholm. I told my missus I've got to speak to you guys. And she was like, oh, no, it's fine. So I didn't want to get stuck in the hotel all day and drag her through. She just suffered 2 months with me in Everest. I think I've got to take her out and about.
Yes, you have to. Absolutely have to. What's next for you?
I got to finish the seven summit thing. Yeah. So I'm off to Antarctica on December 27th to climb the highest mountain in Antarctica. And then I've got an expedition to the South Pole in January. And then I'm done with this, first person to do the two poles, the seven summits in the countries. And then I'm going to get fat and drink whiskey for six months.
Ah, do it. You deserve it. But I know you won't. And I've only been chatting to you for a few minutes. I can feel her eyes rolling as you say that. How can you afford all these adventures? You mentioned your travel blog. Tell me about this blog.
Well, it's pretty simple. Like, I'm not really a techie guy, but when I started doing this Every Country thing, I'd read about a few American people blogging, like, and doing kind of boring travels, and they were making a living out of blogging, making 2 or 3 grand a month. And I used to teach English in Thailand for a year, making like 500 quid a month. So I was like, God, if I could make 2 grand a month from a blog, that's much better than having to actually turn up to a classroom every day. So I started this blog trying to show people that, like, you can come from a tough background and and still live a cool life. And just that was like 2010, so it was 12, 13 years ago now. And I just managed to figure out how to monetize it with ads and
good on you.
That's really the long and short of it.
Where can people
not too
follow
complicated,
you?
To be honest.
Yeah, where can people follow you then if they want to follow your adventures?
So my name's Johnny Ward. So my blog and all that stuff online is One Step Forward, Four Ward.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I did there?
Very good.
With the number four. Thanks, wasn't my idea.
And so on
it's,
Instagram,
it's one
you're
step with the number four.
One Step, the number four Ward, if you want to
exactly.
follow and,
yeah.
and be inspired. And shout out to Maura. Your mother for being an inspiration and an
Absolutely.
Absolute legend. You enjoy your time with your family now, okay? And thank you so much for. And will you tell your missus I appreciate her letting you take the call on your break? So I appreciate your time and her giving us your time because it's
thank
so precious.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go and enjoy your break. You're an absolute legend. I'm going to give you a follow now.
Sorry
so
about the background noise there. Thanks a lot.
That's okay. See you, Johnny. Bye bye bye. There we go. That was Johnny. Absolutely amazing stuff. An Irish adventurer who just last month reached the summit of the highest mountain in the world on his attempt to be the first person to visit every country in the world. He's actually done that. Reach the North and South Poles and scale the seven highest summits. What are you doing today, Graeme? Huh?
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.